Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. This is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, March 19, 2009, and it is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. We invite you this morning to call live 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Now, if you're one of the shy folks out there, don't be shy. Call in. We'd love to hear from you. Or email us anytime at comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to 918-919-0101. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. Mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And folks, it's absolutely free, and I know Andy. He's one of the best economists in the business. He really knows his bananas. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. Interesting commentary. It's not a live broadcast. You can't call in, but he gives you an interesting perspective. Now, whether or not you only have $100 in your portfolio or $100 million in your portfolio, you should really try to understand what is going on. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning is going to be a potpourri of subjects, I believe. And one reason is my back is killing me and I can't focus on anything, I'm sorry to say. Every once in a while that happens and I do my exercises and whatever. And it's still cranky as all heck. I guess it's my age and I need a new mattress or something like that in order to keep myself going. Anyway, things are really incredibly, incredibly interesting today. I want to focus on some of the words that we use to ameliorate what the situation really is like. I love the English language because we can say anything and make it mean absolutely anything in the world. It is an amazing, amazing language. And we, the politicians, use that stuff to the hilt. Before we get there, I just have a couple of emails I'd like to read. I'm not sure if I read this last week, and this is from our friends at... Where are my friends? Where are they? My fingers are sticking. At Goo, G-O-O-O-H, get out of our house. And it says, tricked again. We've been tricked again. Yes, it absolutely doesn't matter. We are fools if we believe otherwise. The problem is not that Obama broke his earmark promise. It's that the politicians who benefit from them are rubbing his nose as well as everyone else's, everyone of ours in it. The stench is awful. And he goes on to say, what's the big deal, some ask. Earmarks are but a small fraction of the total budget. In today's trillion-dollar deficit environment, why should we care about a measly $10 to $20 billion? Surely there are bigger things to worry about. At the risk of digressing, if you want to see a graphic explanation why $1 trillion should scare the bejesus out of you, but let me get back on track. And he goes on, and basically he has in there as an attachment what $1 million is graphically versus $1 billion versus $1 trillion, and it's just absolutely unbelievable. Unfortunately, I can't show it to you. And he says, the problem with earmarks is that they ensure 95% of incumbents to get reelected. Earmarks are used to pay back those who sponsor reelection bids of our non-representative representatives. And I like that, non-representative representatives. He's absolutely correct. If you really want to understand how this works, take a few minutes and watch a superb video put together by the Independent Caucus. They demonstrate how two Utah congressmen, one Republican and one Democrat, use earmarks to repay the companies who fund their campaigns. Perhaps the most criminal part of all is how the companies who benefit from earmarks pay congressmen of both parties to pass them. They don't care about party affiliation, only that the person in power brings business their way. Watch the video. And this is on the Goo website, G-O-O-H. G-O-O-O-H, I should say. Get out of our house. And we had him on our program. Very interesting gentleman. Our most recent blog is an excerpt from Al Detman's Breaking Patterns. As you consider the current situation in the United States, recognize that we are not the first country to be in this predicament. We will, like all those who have come before us, fail to learn from history. And I think he's absolutely correct. Thank you very much. And that was from Tim Cox from Goo. I couldn't agree more. Here's another one, email. I'll just get these out of the way real quickly. We've been getting a lot of emails lately. I just love emails. It gives me something to go on. And it makes me believe that people are listening to the program, which is great. You know, it's kind of discouraging. It's a very lonely place out here in radio land, by the way, folks, because I'm speaking into a microphone and there's absolutely no feedback whatsoever. I mean, it's like talking to yourself in a padded cell. It's the only thing I can liken it to. But I do wish someone would call 646-652-4620. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. 646-652-4620. Open mic morning. Call in with anything you'd like to talk about. He says, I really enjoyed, this is from Tony the Brain. I really enjoyed the show on RFID. It was very informative. And, of course, you're totally right about the auto industry. I talked about the auto industry last week. I wanted to mention that Kramer from Mad Money is a self-proclaimed Keynesian. Now, you know, that's interesting because he's supposed to be a real capitalist, you know, and the whole, not capitalist, real free market guy. And he's a Keynesian. He wants just enough government regulation to keep things in line, which is very contrary to what he says. But he's not. I mean, I think Tony here is absolutely correct. Being he's nowhere near to a free market economist, I wasn't surprised he let John Stewart skewer him on the finer points of their shared pro-government sentiments. I'm a fan of both guys and their shows, but I don't take my economic pointers from comedians or followers of John Maynard Keynes. Now I am a paleo conservative on a lot of issues, so I can lean to what we today in America call left at times. But I never subscribe to the status or pro government views. I can agree with both guys on a lot of issues. Economics isn't among them. I agree, Tony. Well, I like John Stewart. I enjoy the show. But like you, I don't take anything from that show. I mean, I don't. But quite frankly, I know a lot of people who get more news from Jon Stewart and the Robert Report than they do from the mainstream media. And I have to agree with that because at least they take the news and then satirically they dissect it. And I think we get more meaning out of it than anyplace else. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Oh, this is from this guy, Joe, and he says, I just got back from Washington, D.C. I'd love to call in. He says, I just need to find the time. I will try to call him next time, and we can discuss a theory of mine regarding the current two-party system, how to break it, and the ultimate goal. It's really about the current political philosophy I'm formulating. Let's just say it'll be interesting and controversial. Joe, I await your call. Thank you very much. Folks, what I'd like to talk about today is the fact that we keep on talking about a financial crisis in America. Now, no doubt, financially, people are probably not as well off as they were 6 months ago or a year ago. By virtue of the fact of interest rates on savings accounts, the shakiness of bonds, the stock market is down nearly 50%. It has recently had a little bounce back, about 1,000 points from its low, about 6,500, and now 7,500. We don't know where it's going. No one could predict where it's going. But people are hurting. Obviously, unemployment is higher than it has been in a long time. It's not the highest, but it's high. And remember, unemployment has to be measured against how many people actually in the marketplace. So you can't take numbers. You got to take percentages. And even the percentages are getting kind of mean. They're getting kind of nasty. So I know many people with many companies. A good friend of mine, his name is Greg. He has a company that sells heavy-duty equipment to garages, you know, that straighten out equipment, the cars and stuff like big stuff, you know. And basically he's always done extremely, extremely well. He's very, very good in what he does. He provides a lot of service. He's a hell of a nice guy. He's one of those pure, honest guys that works hard 24 hours a day, that if you buy something from him, you know you're going to get the right product, you know, at the right time, and you're going to get service galore. And he's a heck of a nice guy. He's very honest. And he said he may have to close. He may have to find other work. Now, I never thought I'd hear that from him because he's always been the best in the business. In fact, when he worked for this other company, he was their very number one salesman. And he worked with them for like 25 years. I mean, he was always top number one. In fact, one year he won himself at the company convention. He won himself a Harley Davidson motorcycle. Anyway, but I just spoke with him a couple of days ago. He says I may have to close up and find a job because he's now in business for himself. He's doing the service work. His company, you know, got rid of all their reps and stuff like that. They're doing things through distributorships and whatever. Anyway, but it's really interesting. You know, everyone seems to be hurting. Everyone seems to be hurting. Absolutely everyone. Now, the only people who are not hurting are people who are affiliated with the federal government. Just think of that. The only people who are not hurting, I'll say that again. The only people who are not hurting are those people who are working for the federal government. The federal government is increasing jobs. The government is increasing jobs. Now, just think of that for a second, folks. That should get you angry. People are losing their jobs, and the government is putting ads in, we need people to work here. Well, why do we need more people in government while there are few people in regular economy not working? I mean, if we just took and discounted absolutely, absolutely everything else, we should say there is something wrong. We are not going down the right track. We have fewer people working in the regular economy, in the free market economy. And as that decreases, the number of employees working for the federal government increases. Folks, we should be screaming at the top of our lungs. Absolutely screaming. We should demand that the government cut the same number of people that are employed for the government, same number of people that are being let off, that are losing their jobs in the regular economy. If the regular economy had has an unemployment rate of 8%, the government's got to cut 8%. Now, but just think of the logic here, folks. Just think of the logic. The government can't do that because the government is preaching jobs, 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 that they're going to stimulate the economy. Well, the first question that I have, the very first question I have is when Barack Obama says, you know, we need to stimulate the economy. What the hell is he talking about? Define the economy. Think about that. I want you to start thinking. What he says, let's stimulate the economy. What the hell is he talking about? What is he stimulating? What is the economy? How do you define the economy? The economy is the sum total of all economic activity within a nation or within the scope of a country. All economic activity. In other words, literally trillions of transactions a day. Different types. Trillions of decisions made every single day. When you get up in the morning and you decide, well, you know, I won't have a cup of coffee today. You know, I don't need it. That's the economy. That's part of the economy. You are not consuming that coffee. Or if you decide, well, you know, I'll go to work a little early. You know, I think I can do this, this, and that, and get this done. That's the economy. You are just stimulating the economy. That's what you're doing. You may make an extra sale, produce something, invent something, discover something. You're doing something. Could be, and it could be literally microscopic in comparison to the entire scope of the economy. But that's what makes up the economy. Could you imagine the audacity of one person getting up and saying, I'm going to stimulate the economy. How dare he say that? Who gave him the right to play God? Good thing I don't get upset. I tell you, this drives me absolutely nuts. And all of the clowns that work for him. You know, the one that I just absolutely love, the one I love was Hank Paulson. That guy is great. This guy was the head of Goldman Sachs, the CEO of Goldman Sachs. While all these credit default swaps, these bad loans, bada-bing, bada-bang, bada-boom, bada-bing, bada-bing, all this stuff is going on. Are you telling me he didn't know about it? Go, oops, I didn't know. I mean, could you imagine him saying that? Oh, I was there, but I didn't know what was going on, folks. I'm sorry. So put me ahead of the, put me in, since I didn't know what was going on in my own company, put me in charge of the U.S. currency. And we did it. We put him in charge of it. And then he goes, oh, look at all these bad things that are going on. We need to do something. We need to give these people trillions of dollars to bail it out. What the hell are we doing? He's the guy who encouraged it. He may have invented that stuff. And then we put him in charge, and then he gives trillions of dollars, not of the government money, of my money, of your money, back to these bums. And we applaud him for doing a good job. Americans are stupid. We are just plain stupid. Stupid, ignorant, uninformed, disinformed. Uneducated. And lack any backbone whatsoever. It's amazing that Americans can stand up straight anymore. They have no backbone at all. They go, oh, well, I guess, you know, we elect these people and they'll do that. And they'll fix the economy. They can't fix anything. They can't fix a damn thing. And when it collapses, you know what they're going to do? They're going to blame everybody else. I heard Barack Obama the other day. I tell you, it turned my stomach just to listen to him. You know, first I couldn't listen to George Bush at all. I figured, well, I can tolerate Barack Obama. Now I'm getting to the point where I can't tolerate him as well. And he's trying to explain to the common folks about credit default swaps and how they work. Well, did he mention that Bill Clinton deregulated credit default swaps and said, guys, do whatever the hell you want. Go, go, boy, go. Go, girl, go. No. Did he mention the fact that the SEC could have at any time gone in and audited? And this would have, I tell you, I used to be an auditor for Royal Dutch Shell. I mean, I know this stuff. I was an internal auditor for Royal Dutch Shell. And you learn how to look at things when you're an auditor. Now, I wasn't a great accountant nor a great auditor. I was not great or anything like that. You know, I was just a plain vanilla person. But I learned a lot. The people I worked with were phenomenal. They were just phenomenal people. They would go into a department, and all I would see was be this big array of activity. I go, what do you do? And my friend, this guy Wayne I used to work with, he was fantastic. He hated computers. He would take a spreadsheet out. He said, just give me any file. And he start with a spreadsheet, and he just start heading it. And after a while, this spreadsheet, you'd think there'd be three or four columns. They'd have 15, 17 columns. And he would just write things down, just observe, and just put things in the right column. Then take another one, put things in the right column. Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, patterns would emerge. And we would find the most unbelievable stuff going on. I mean, he was remarkable. In fact, I used to call him a spreadsheetologist. I swear, I used to call him a spreadsheetologist. The guy, and the thing is, the guy was brilliant. If you spoke with him, you said, this guy's really dumb. He was incredibly brilliant. Now, we have the SEC, costs billions of dollars a year. Why couldn't one of those people, the SEC, says, you know, Harry, I got a question here. Can I just go over there and look at one of those subprime, those package loans? Just let me audit one of them. Maybe take about 15, 20. I'll do it before coffee break. It won't cost anything. And all they have to do is look at the package, look at it, you know, look at some of the applications, you know, do a little spreadsheet. I'm not talking about a multi-million, billion-dollar thing. I'm talking about something the guy could have done on his coffee break. And looked at it and said, you know, this thing sucks. This thing is no good. And the Moody's gave it a AAA rating. Standard & Poor's gave it a AAA rating. There's no one here. These people have no income. Go back and say, hey, this thing is no good. It's AAA. It's no good. It should be triple F. Quadruple F. Give me another one. Get another one. Looks the same thing. Modern to me. The same thing all over again. I mean, after that, right? Let's get the department involved. All right, now we have a full day job, a one-day job. One-day job of the federal. Go back again. Get it. Look at this stuff, right? And then say, Maronami, look at this thing. Manacha, Budiala, Manacha. And then say, close the whole place down. They could have done that on day one. But what does Barack Obama do? He blames the free market system, capitalism, greed, Wall Street. What a bunch of crap. What a bunch of crap. They use the word greed. They have no idea what greed means. There's no definite. They use the word economy. Have no idea what that word means. And then the solution is that they take more of my money that they've already squandered, build more bureaucracies, build a bigger federal government, more regulation, take my freedom away with my money. And they'll say, now you are fully protected. Until next week, when we find another problem, when we find out we haven't regulated enough. Folks, we do not have a financial crisis. We do not have a financial crisis. We have a constitutional crisis. Now, what do I mean by that? That means we have a government that are providing services that the Constitution never provided for. The president is not in charge of the economy. The Federal Reserve is not part of the United States. The Federal Reserve has issued trillions of dollars into the investment, not even the banking community, the investment community, without congressional approval. That's like someone, anybody, in their basement printing trillions of dollars and letting it out into the marketplace and debasing the currency. That's the same thing as the Federal Reserve doing it, because that's a private organization. They print trillions of dollars, let it out, and then the money that's in my pocket all of a sudden is worth 5, 10, or 15% less. And we are heading for the highest hyperinflation that this country has ever experienced. Yesterday, Barack Obama issued another $1 trillion. He has no right to issue $1 trillion to anybody. He is not in charge of the economy, whatever that means. The only thing that he should be doing is ensuring that my rights and my liberties and my freedom are held intact by a good court system, a good enforcement system, and the establishment and the maintenance of the rule of law. Period. That's his only job. But this self-proclaimed Messiah is going to solve our problems, and he's not. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Isn't it amazing? Every time they do something for a few $1 trillion, then they just need another $1 trillion. And then they need another $1 trillion. In other words, they never say, we failed, we failed, we failed. We just say, we haven't done enough. It's like I'm cheating on my wife. And I said, honey, really, I'll stop. You know, but I really can't stop now because I haven't cheated enough. You have to understand, honey, I haven't cheated enough. And then I cheat on her again. I go, but honey, I haven't cheated enough. And she goes, oh, I understand that, dear. Oh, can I make you dinner? What the heck's the matter with us? We do not have a financial crisis. We have a constitutional crisis. If I was Barack Obama's shoes and someone came and said, AIG is going under, saying, so what does that have to do with me? I'm having my coffee and my donut. You're upsetting me. Why are you spoiling my day? Well, if they go under, all the pensions will go. Pension? You mean pension fund managers invested in credit default swaps? Did they do something like that? Well, did they make bad decisions? People won't get their pensions. So fine. Well, if we bail them out, they're not going to get their pensions anyway. Whatever they get, it's not going to be worth anything anyway. So what difference does it make? And why? I didn't finish my donut this morning. Why are you aggravating me? That's what his answer should have been. Because he has no rights as a president. His job is just to ensure that my freedom, which includes my money, is not being debased. When he debases my money, that means he's taken my freedom away. He's made me more of a slave to the government. And he increases the size of government, debases the currency. I become more of a slave to him and his cronies, and so do you, unfortunately. They don't discriminate. By the way, they do not discriminate. They can't. It's against the law. We all get screwed, every one of us. And don't forget that. Other than that, I have no opinion. And the last thing I want to touch on, just for one moment, is too big to fail. I have no unearthly idea what that means. Too big to fail. What the heck is that? What the heck is that supposed to mean? Too big to fail. If they're too big, they're too big. Too big for what? And if they fail and everyone gets hurt, let's all get hurt together. Let's all take our lumps and let's pick ourselves up and build a new America with the Constitution as our guide, and not with these clowns in office, and get rid of all these bums. Maybe we'll be angry enough that we'll get rid of all these bums. Enough said. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. Your ride is controlled, and that isn't any more fun. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.